I'd rather hear more of the Bible and less of me anyway. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. In fact, I think the book of Daniel is a lot more inspired than me anyway, although I'm inspired about the message God's given to me. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of these, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Then they came near. By the way, just throw this one in. This is a part, this is not really the message. This is a free part of this. Consider, they knew they'd find him praying. I wonder if they know they'd find you praying. Pretty amazing. Then these men were assembled together and found Daniel praying, making supplications before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Good, I'm glad. Then the king rose very early in the morning, went in haste into the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Thank you, and you may be seated. Imagine you in that situation. Imagine yourself being put in an unbelievable situation where your life is in danger. Rarely will you ever face an event like that. But that's where Daniel is. It's where God had placed him. It would be frightening to know if you're about to face a lion's den, or for that matter, anything that would be life-threatening. It would be fearful. But Daniel knew that it'd be more fearful to stand before God having compromised. When he'd come between choosing to stand for God or to stand before man, he chose to do right no matter what. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall in the hands of the living God. Tonight, we know that there are people who are facing all kinds of situations. Some are very difficult. But yet, I want to remind you of this, that God says he'll give us the grace to stand where we need to stand. Daniel is in his 80s at this point. You know, sometimes you get the idea when you read Daniel in the lion's den, you ever notice how all the Sunday school quarterlies and all those things, how they have Daniel like a little teenage boy, almost like he's riding on the back of the lions. The truth matters, he's up in his 80s. Best estimates, he's about 83 years old. Imagine 83 years old being placed into the lion's den. He had lived through 3 world empires. He was placed in a prominent position, and his enemies were jealous of him. You know, jealousy is a horrible thing. Have you ever noticed when people are jealous, they'll try to get you? That was the case with Daniel. They were prepared with a plot to destroy him, but yet God was bigger than their plot. There are key principles that we find in his life in the beginning here, just by way of introduction. Key principle number one, God wants us to obey in spite of the circumstances. We're to always obey. We learned that last week. We're to obey God in spite of the circumstances. Key principle number two, God's people live by principles regardless of how old they are. You know, if you're up in your 80s, you should live for God like you were if you were in your 20s. I just don't believe that you kind of outgrow living for God. I think it's something you should do until you die. It's the right thing to serve God and live for God and love God. Still, my hero, one of my heroes in our church was Mr. Saxon, Alfred Saxon. I love him. When God took him home, he took home one of God's great saints. He was 84 years old out knocking doors with me. I remember we would knock doors. He'd come every Thursday morning. That was our time. He always wanted to go with me. We went Thursday morning. We knocked doors every Thursday morning. It's kind of my schedule. And he showed up. He said, well, we're going door knocking. He'd come in, had that little orange car come driving in. And for a while, we would trade driving until riding with him was taking your life in your own hands. And I said, Mr. Saxon, let me drive at this point. He ran every stoplight, stop sign. He had no law. scared me to death. But you know what? He could go out and knock doors, and it seems like invariably he'd come after he knocked doors and he'd hand me a stack of prospect cards because everyone loved him. He was 84 years old, still serving God, knocking doors. Thank God for that. Living by godly principles, no matter how old you are. And third, God is well able to deliver his people. You might be saying tonight, I don't know how God can do it. I don't know how he can either. I can't explain it. Never have been able to. I don't know how God's going to get our country out of the mess we're in right now. We're in an economic mess. $14 trillion, is it? We're in a mess. But our God's able. Maybe some of you are facing some lions. You can put whatever you want in that little blank of what the lion could be. Maybe it's doubt or fear or nervousness or job insecurity or health or unbelief or worry or whatever it is that you're facing. I just want you to know God's well able to deliver you too. He can take care of you. But God displays for us through the life of Daniel four characteristics. I'm going to give them to you. I won't keep you long. I know this is kind of a Mother's Day time still, and I still want to honor you, help you get home a little early. But I just want to remind you that the same God that took care of Daniel is the same God that takes care of us tonight. He's not a God that was or a God that could be. He's a God that is. He's called the I Am. And I'm glad he's an I Am. I'm glad he's not a changing God, because you can't change perfection. God doesn't run out. He doesn't drag down. He doesn't sort of, you know, give out. He keeps going all the time. But what are the characteristics? You can put it in your notes here if you want. Number one, I want you to notice his commitment. He had a commitment to God. I'm impressed with this man and his commitment. You know, I think sometimes we think these Bible stories is just about for the little kids. But can I remind you of this, that this Bible story is for us. Because in this passage, we're learning about who he is and about his commitment. And his commitment began when he first of all turned to the Lord and trusted him as his Savior. Tonight we'll baptize, and the truth of the matter is, when we baptize, we realize that it's a reminder to us of what takes place when a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's not the fact that when you get baptized that it's at that point that the water washes away your sin. It is not that at all. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that what washes away our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. So remind the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he was crucified on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. He shed his blood, and his blood was the payment for our sins. And by trusting in him, he's our Savior. We can't get to heaven because we're a good Baptist, or because we're a good such and such, or because we've taken this, or we've done that, or we've been baptized. It's because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. There's a commitment to that. God committed his life, and we surrender our faith in him. But Daniel, the Bible says in verse number 3, can I call your attention to verse 3? The Bible says he had an excellent spirit. You ever met people with an excellent spirit? I like people like that, don't you? I like being around people who've got a great spirit. I don't know, there are just certain people like that. I think Dr. Barber is one of the men that I can honestly say that has one of the most excellent spirits of any man I've ever been around. I love him. He has a great spirit. Just hang around him a little bit. And he has that southern drawl, Brother Rick. Well, what are you reading in the Bible right now? Well, Dr. Barber, I'm reading over in the Psalms and kind of work my way through the Gospels. And, well, brother, what have you learned recently? Just love his spirit. And I'll tell him something. He'll say, well, why don't you go over and study this out? And let me tell you about this. He called me about a month ago, and he said, hey, my phone hasn't been ringing. Are you still preaching? But he's a wonderful saint. Has a great spirit. You know why? Because God was working in his life. You know how you get that kind of spirit? Let God work in your life. That's what Daniel was doing. He spent time with God. He knew that God was doing something in his life, and it was obvious to all the people around him. They said he had a wonderful spirit. They had placed him in a special position because of this excellent spirit. He had favor both with God and with man. That's what it says about Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, the Bible says. So an excellent spirit. Why? He was committed. Well, I tell you what, when you get committed, it's amazing what God does. But not only that, but he had a faithful commitment. A faithful commitment. The end of verse number 4, did you notice what the Bible said? The Bible said that they knew that he was faithful. For as much as he was faithful. I was thinking about that this week and praying over that. I said, you know, the hardest thing for people to do is to be faithful, isn't it? We all like to be hot and cold. You say, how do you know that? Because how many of us have unfinished projects at home? You know, we all get jazzed up, we're all excited, we start this project and we want to do it, but yet, guess what happens? We become unfaithful because we never finish the project. You say, how do I know? Because I'm like you. We have a storage shed of unfinished projects, amen? Things you start, but you don't finish. Sometimes it's like that. But one thing we never want to not be is we don't want to be unfaithful to God. The Bible said he was faithful. They wanted to find something that about him that reflected unfaithfulness, and they couldn't find any. There'll always be someone looking for a flaw, a chink in your armor. They're always going to be. Your lost family members, they're going to be looking for something. They're going to look for a chink in your armor. They're going to look for a flaw, a fault. You're going to look for a reason why they can't do what you're doing. It's human nature. You say, how do you know that? That's why their magazines are written. That's what the magazines are about. What are those? I don't know. Globe, Life, Star, whatever it is, all that weird stuff. They got these magazines that feast on people's flaws. They're going to be people like that. They're going to look for a flaw. Just make sure that you don't have any flaw they can grab a hold of. Look, we're all going to have imperfections. Daniel did too. It doesn't mean that he was a perfect man, but it does mean that there was nothing that they could actually accuse him of to question his motive or his heart or commitment to God. So the very first characteristic of a man like this, whom God can deliver, number one, is he was committed. How committed are you to God? Number two, write this one down. I'm going to kind of hurry here. Number two is he was confident. Verses 10 through 12, he was confident. What was he confident in? It wasn't in himself. Have you ever had a time when you just didn't trust yourself? We've all had those moments. The truth of the matter is, his trust was in the Lord. Our confidence is always in the Lord. The psalmist says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How true that is. It's a whole lot better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Be honest. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you have ever had a man fail you? Every hand should go up, right? Sure. I mean, that verse goes without saying. It's always better to put confidence in God than in man. Because the truth of the matter is, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all failed God ourselves. The Bible says that he had confidence, but it wasn't in himself, it was in God. And we know that. We know they had to be that way. And so God is showing us that. And in fact, I really like this verse in Proverbs 25:19. You know, I love to read the Proverbs. They're just so many almost humorous things. Listen to this. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. The idea is, you know, you want to eat something, you put it in, you got a broken tooth, you can't eat it. Or you want to get up and you run because maybe there's some reason you have to run and your leg gives out. The idea is you put confidence in a man who's unfaithful. Truth of the matter is, that confidence will be destroyed because that man will never accomplish what you've asked him. Hey, how many times has it been said, you know, if you want to find somebody who you can trust, find someone who's busy doing something, who's faithful at what they do, you can trust them in it. That's the idea here. His confidence. Write a couple of thoughts down real quick. Number one, what was he confident in? He was confident in God's expectation. He knew God wanted him to be faithful to his devotion. He knew it was God's will of the utmost importance in his life that he was to do what God had asked him to do. In fact, the Bible said, notice, in verse number 10, let's look at it, please. Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What's Daniel saying? Daniel's saying, look, I'm not trying to be showy. I've always done this. Just because they passed a law, I wasn't challenging the king. I'm simply doing what I've always done. In other words, I'm not letting the government set the pace for my spiritual life. I've decided that I'm going to let God direct my spiritual life. He knew that he could trust in God's plan. Thank God for that. Letter B, or God's expectation, letter B is in God's plan. God's plans are not always our plans. I would imagine if we were to ask Daniel, now Daniel, you know you're praying, and now they're saying your sentence is going to the lion's den. Is this really what you want, Daniel? Daniel said, well, it's not my plan. Someone said to me one time, be careful what you pray for because God might give it to you. But he may not give it to you the way you prayed for it. I remember in college, sometimes people would come in and they'd come into prayer groups, and we had these little prayer groups. We'd pray like 2 or 3 rooms come together and we'd pray. And I can remember, it's always funny. They'd come in and they're saying, you know, pray that we can get money to pay our school bill. Because lots of times, you know, the students would have to pay their school bill and they had to work. And midterms came, they had to have their school bill current, and so they had to do for their finals. And so they'd pray and say, can you pray and ask, let's pray and ask God to help me to get my school bill paid. And, you know, parents did the best they could, students did the best they could, and just, you know, college bills are expensive, believe me. Those of you who have not done that, it's coming. And those of us who have done that, praise God. We know something about that, right, Brother Abelos and some of you others? But the truth of the matter is, they would say, let's pray. And so we'd pray, and unusual things would happen. God didn't always put it in their mailbox. God would do other things, like give them a phone call and say, hey, will you come over and do a little work for me? I'll pay you. Well, that wasn't what they had in mind. They would have rather had a check delivered in the mailbox rather than have to go out and do some work. Amen? Sometimes God's plans aren't always our plans. But God is always right in every plan that he makes. And so Daniel here was about to do something that he's never asked anyone else to do, and yet God knew that he had confidence in him, in God. Thank God for that. Third characteristic, and write this one down if you would, please. His courage. You know, I don't know about you, but I like a man that has courage. There's just something about courage. We all have mixed feelings about the fact that Osama bin Laden was killed, but you got to admit one thing about it. That Navy SEAL had courage because he could have lost his life. I like courage. In fact, the Bible said that to be courageous, we're told that. Joshua was told to have courage when you go into the promised land. Haven't I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage, he says. And here Daniel was a courageous man. We see it in his testimony in verse number 16. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. See, his courage was seen in his testimony. Notice the fact is that he says, thy God. You know, remember, the kings, they thought they were God, or they worshiped pagan gods or whatever, but he said, look, he says, your personal God. He said, he's able because I can see in your testimony that you're serving him continually. It didn't matter what I said or what the law said or what others said or whether it's life-threatening or not or whatever took place. Your God is able, whom thou servest continually. Can that be said of you that you serve God continually? Some people that they'll get started and serve, they'll get started with their service and they'll quit somewhere along the way. Again, remember what I said, the older does not mean that it is now a reprieve from serving God. I like when people keep serving God. Now I know health sometimes prohibits all that we can do, but understand what he's saying. Serving. It's seen in his testimony. Number two, it's seen in his acceptance in verse 17. A stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. He accepted the will of God. Well, I guess I'm going in the lion's den. Boy, that's tough. That's tough. Be a lot easier to serve God on the other side of the lion's den. A lot easier to be on this side, not there. Why the lion's den? But that's what God wanted. That the purposes, he said. God wanted that. Why can't I serve God somewhere else? Why here? Why do I have to be in California? Why can't I be somewhere else? You know, we're always so concerned about where we think we ought to be. We don't serve God right where he placed us. I look at it this way. For me as a pastor, God's called me to, this is where I'm to serve. And if God moves me somewhere else, then that's fine too. Whatever God wants. I just want to serve him wherever I'm supposed to be. I mean, I never thought I'd be in California. California, as far as I knew, was going to be in the ocean before I got this age. But it was seen and he accepted God's will. Will you accept God's will tonight? And then let her see it's seen in his faith, verses 18 and 19. He had spent so much time with God that God had built his backbone. He knew God that would protect him. And God put him in the lion's den. The Bible said that when he was in there, I don't think the lions really cared for how he smelled or tasted. Maybe he had too much backbone, I don't know. They didn't care for him. You know, God can do things like that, can't he? You know, kind of the animal. I mean, I know it's true. I have a German shepherd. You know, German shepherds, you put food down, they're like, poof, you know, it's like a vacuum cleaner. Poof. Until they get sick, you can't get them to eat. If they don't eat in a couple of days, they're going to die. Dogs die quick. They're not real resilient. You think they are, but they're really not. It doesn't matter if they're huge or they're little. They'll die quick. But they go into a fast when they're sick. And you got to get them to the vet quick. You got to get them Pedialyte or something to get to the electrolytes. I have force-fed dogs. Isn't it fun? We had a snake one time wouldn't eat. Yeah, I know, it's weird. It was my daughter's, actually. And I called the vet and asked the vet how to do it. He said, force feed it. I said, right. Just thought I'd throw that out. But you know, God can stop the mouth of a lion real quick. No hunger. They're not a bit hungry. Maybe it was just the time, whatever it is. But look, we can excuse it all away. Let's just say it this way. God was in it. Whatever God's doing, just make sure that wherever you are in the will of God, just be right there with God in it. Find out where God's going and walk with Him. Well, that's what I want to be, right where God wants me. I would much rather be in California, right where I am, in the will of God, than anywhere else on the planet. That's where He is. His faith, he knew God. He walked with God. Three powerful characteristics, but there's one more. I want you to write this one down. His companion. His companion. He had a companion that was like none other. Though Daniel was, it looked like that Daniel was the only one, and maybe people had come gathered around to see Daniel thrown into the lion's den, but can I remind you of this? He had a companion. This is the best part of it. Look at verse number 20. It's identified. Verse number 20, the Bible said he came to the den, and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, Daniel, serve the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. Look at verse 22. My God has sent his, what's it say there? Angel. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think that angel might be? None other than Jesus Christ. Another, what we call Christophany. We already seen him in Daniel chapter 3. He appears now in Daniel chapter number 6. Jesus Christ shows up in the Old Testament from time to time in his pre-incarnate appearance. And here he was with Daniel, the living God. Not a God, the living God. He's the God of order. He's the God that can hold the mouth of the lions closed. Because the truth of the matter is, everyone in the whole story was wrong, but there was only one that was right, and that was Daniel, because he stood right, and God protected him. Look, if the whole world rejects God, don't you be one that rejects God. Stand with Him. And that's exactly where Daniel was. He stood and did right. His manifestation is found in verses 22 through verse 24. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. I love this. And the king commanded they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lion had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Guess what happened? Daniel got brought out, they put him in, and the lion said, man, we're hungry now. Boy, powerful. God had manifested himself, and Daniel had no hurt because he's protected by God. You know why? Because he did right. He was committed. Would to God we have some committed people. I mean, here's a man that decided before anything else, he was going to walk with God. Five principles and I'll be done. I'll rapid fire give them to you. Number one, never compromise God's truth. That we live in a day of compromise. But truth doesn't have to be compromised. I don't think a church should ever compromise. Amen? Look, let's stand on the truth. This Bible is not has some of the Bible, has all of it from cover to cover, and there is no error in this book that I hold in my hand called the Word of God. For 400 years, the King James Bible has been reliable. We celebrated just this past week. Remind yourself, never compromise the truth of God's Word. We don't put it next to the Book of Mormon. We don't put it next to the Pearl of Great Price. We don't put it next to man's philosophy, or even to the Constitution for that matter. It stands alone. It is God's truth. Number two, write this one down. Obedience to God is more important than obedience to man. No doubt about it. We obey God before man. We're going to obey God. Let God take care of the consequences. Number three, accept God's will for our lives. That's not easy. We can't run from God, but the Bible said we're to accept God's will for our lives. Number four, trust God through every circumstance. Trust God. How simple that seems to be. How easy it seems to say that we just trust God, but I'm going to tell you the circumstances sometimes are almost unbearable. How can I do it? I don't know. It's the grace of God. I can't understand it, but I know that God says we can. And then there's one more principle that we learn, and that is God's reputation should be our greatest concern. You realize if Daniel got eaten, God's reputation would have been destroyed. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to hurt God's reputation. I would want to do anything that would bring dishonor to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I just believe we ought to honor Him with our life. May God help us to realize God can deliver us from the lions. He can. He can. Take some of these characteristics back and pray over them and see if maybe you're lining up with those. Maybe tonight, if you're not, this might be a start for you. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, I would urge you to come and get saved and accept Christ. If you're here tonight and you're saved, but yet maybe you're just waning in your commitment, or perhaps you're pulling back with some of the other areas in your life that you know you need to make right, let me urge you, come and make it right tonight. Decide to get a new start tonight. You say, I've been to the altar so much, I don't know if God even hears me. That's not true. God is always there to hear you. God's the God of the second chance. I heard someone say once, He's the God of the second chance. My God's the God of 4th, 5th, 6th, 100, 200, 300. As long as there's breath to breathe, there's a God that will forgive. God wants to forgive you right where you are. I'm thankful tonight God's like that. I'm glad God doesn't give up on me. I'm glad He gave up on me when I was where I was as a young teenage boy. Maybe tonight this might be the time for you. Shall we pray?